Welcome to the second part of Understanding Joe's Order in Return to Life. And from the first part, we got up to the scissors, bicycle and shoulder bridge. But first of all, I just want to answer a question that came in from one of you about why the saw is before spine twist, when sort of like nowadays we see spine twist as being less complex than the saw. And again, what I need to just remind you of is you've almost got to go back into Joe's time and almost try and get rid of the sort of biomechanics of the move, the functionality of the move, the fact that the spine is just rotating or it's rotating and flexing, and instead think of what his intentions were. And so if we think about spine twist, it's actually more about that wringing out of the breath. And could be seen a little bit more as a release after the intensity of scissors, bicycle and shoulder bridge. Whereas the saw as well is again that release, that stretch forwards. So it's almost less about the fact of what the spine's doing, which we focus so much on nowadays, and a little bit more about that sort of deeper, more holistic intention. So coming on to spine twist, and I'm going to link spine twist with the jackknife, which follows it, because these two, both of these two movements are preparations for the sides of the body and the back line of the body ready for what comes after both of them, and that's your side kick series. So we have two moves where you're focusing on, can you connect the legs, the lower body, to the trunk on one side. So if we sort of think about where we're going, which is to our side kicks afterwards, that's exactly what we need to do in order to perform the side kicks well. We need to have a really good connection down the trunk and one side of the body with lovely stability and strength. So that's exactly what we're looking for in both our spine twist and our jackknife. So again, it's almost we have to go back in time to think about and get into Joe's mind instead of, you know, what we think, oh, jackknife is an incredibly advanced move. Whereas really what it is just really connecting the sides of the body and the trunk and the legs together. So after those two, we then come into your side kick, which is for me the epitome of Pilates, where we are anchoring one side of the body and controlling the movement of another. So we're looking to anchor down the trunk and challenge that stability with a moving leg. It also is very reminiscent of, I think, your one leg circle, because again, just as in your one leg circle where we are using the rib cage for stability and one supporting leg and then creating movement, we're doing exactly the same in our one leg kick, but we've increased the intensity by taking it off that big place of support of lying on your back and bringing you onto a sideline position, which obviously is a much smaller base of support. Following the side kick, we then come into your teaser and your hip twist. And both of these really lengthen the whole system. So they're really going to look at stretching the whole system, the whole back line of the body, and looking for space out of the hips, out of the front of the hips. And again, it's taking your side kick principle, that anchoring of one part of the body against a moving part, but making it even more intense by adding double legs moving. Or in the case of the teaser, we've got the upper body movement, then the lower body movement, and then both ends moving. So both of those are very much as well about maintaining the shape. The shape doesn't change. So in that position with your teaser, yes, you're moving in and out of the shape, but you're always looking for that same shape in the pelvis, that C curve slightly off the sit bones in the pelvis. With your hip twist, you're looking at no movement coming through the upper body while the legs and the hips are spinning. Then we come into our swimming, which is often seen as your reverse 100. And actually you can use the breathing pattern of the 100 in your swimming. So as you're kicking the arms and the legs, you're thinking of breathing in for 5 and breathing out for 5. So that can definitely be seen as as the reverse 100. Or it can be seen simply that you are bending the other way from your teaser and your hip twist. You're taking the same shape, but you're turning it upside down. So it's seen as that lengthening of the front of the body, bending the other way to stretch out the front line of the body. Then we come into our two leg pulls, our leg pull front and our leg pull. And this is where Joe begins to take us from a lying down position, either side lying or lying on your front or lying on your back. And he's bringing you up just onto your hands and your feet. So we can sort of see that we're gradually coming to a more upright position. We're gradually taking away the basis of support and making it smaller and smaller and smaller. So we have to work deeper into our control and into our balance. So onto our leg pulls, which again is a little bit reminiscent of our side kick, because we've got anchoring of one part of the body and then challenging that anchor with a moving limb. But we're sort of, again, we've got this this real challenge to stability by only being on our hands and the toes of one foot. We take that further again into our side kick kneeling, where we've made the support even smaller now by only being able to rest on one hand and one knee, and then we're challenging the shape, the stability of the shape, with that moving leg. So you can sort of see the reflection throughout the whole repertoire is very, very similar. That reflection of shape and that reflection of intention, of challenging and anchoring part of the body with a moving part. So coming into the side kick, we've got that beautiful lateral flexion, but then we're challenging the shape with the moving leg. Coming into our side bend, this is just a huge stretch. A huge stretch where we're wringing out the sides of the body after our side kick kneeling. So we're really, just think of that a little bit like your spine stretch, a little bit like your spine twist, a bit like the saw. Side bend falls into this category of just a lovely release and stretch in between those big, big strength moves. And really that's one of the arguments of why you might not need to add in extra stretching, extra releases into your sessions, because within the repertoire, Joe's added them in for you. We're then coming towards the end, so we come into the three rolling moves that are put together, which are your boomerang, your seal, and your crab. And each one of these has its own rhythm and its own shape. Okay, so for these, we start off with our boomerang, which is one of my favorite moves. And it's really all about that control, that integrity. Can you hold the shape with motion? So for moves like your teaser, your hip twist, it's all about holding the shape with movement of one limb. Now Joe's taking it further and asked you to hold the shape while you're in movement, in motion. So our boomerang is called a boomerang because you should maintain a boomerang shape throughout the move. And I think the most trickiest part of your boomerang is the initiation of it. Because so often when we go to do our boomerang, we use the upper body to sort of bring the legs up. So we almost open the shape slightly to get the legs in motion to go over. Whereas actually what we should have is the upper body and the legs leading together, which I think for our postural tendencies nowadays is so hard, because the front of the thighs can just almost be screaming at you to get that engagement. So a really nice cue is to lift the legs, really think of almost trying to suck the thigh bones deep into the hip socket, deep into your abdominal curve, to really help them sort of lighten to lift up. So the biggest challenge for me is that initial start on your boomerang, that making sure you don't just go back using the weight of the upper body. So your boomerang is just trying to hold that beautiful boomerang shape throughout the movement. Well, whatever you do with the arms, whatever variation you choose to do, it's that beautiful shape through the torso. We then come into seal, which again is almost seen as your dessert, because it's a beautiful hip opener. So when you do your seal, always make sure that you're pressing your elbows into the insides of the knees in order to help the hips open. So the claps don't come from your feet, they actually come from the inner thigh, from the thigh bones moving outwards. And the elbow pressure helps that to happen. And then finally we come into the crab, which is where Joe has taken the rolling. Excuse me, sorry, I've got a cough. Joe has taken the rolling from the very top of your head all the way to the tailbone. So all the others, we don't go onto the top of the head, whereas on our rolling, obviously we come forwards at the beginning and touch the top of the head down before we take it all the way into our rollover. From those three beautiful rolling moves, we then come into rocking. And rocking is the ultimate stretch for the front of the body. We're opening at the hips, we're opening at the spine, we're opening at the chest. And it's all about really, really finding that equality in shape. So again, look for the shape. Look for whether they are lifting the upper body more than they are coming out of the hips. That's the general cheat that you'll see. People tend to come higher in the upper body and less out of the hips, because obviously our hip extension is often restricted. So you really want to encourage that the balance of the weight before you start the rock is on the is where the waist is. Rather than it being on the front of the pelvis, try and encourage people to find the weight to be around the front of the waist, on the navel almost. And then it's the in-breath that will expand the rib cage, that will encourage the chest to lift higher, that will start your rock. Then we come into really our grand finale, and this is our control balance. And this is where we're taking all the elements that we've gone through, your 100, your double leg stretch, your jackknife, your rollover, all the rolling moves, all the scissors, the bicycle, all of those things are all coming together in one movement, which is simply control and balance, as the name says. And this really is your grand finale. And when we look at doing the 34, it's not that you can do every single, each separate exercise perfectly. It's the fact that you can do all of these exercises and get to your final challenge of the control balance and be able to execute that perfectly. So don't try to come away from thinking of each exercise as a little island, as being able to perfect each one. It's more that they can all link together to lead you to this finale of your control balance. And it's just all the moves really rolled into one. And then finally we finish in standing, and Joe always thought, you know, standing was the most challenging position for the heart to be in. So we finish with standing, and that's where we see the elements, those three elements that Romana really nicely put into a quote for us, which really epitomizes Pilates in my mind. She says, you can say what Pilates is in three words. It's stretch with strength and control. And the control part is the most important, because that makes you use your mind. And for me, we finish with push-up, and it has exactly that. It has the stretch as we roll down. It has the strength as we perform the push-up. And it's got the control that throughout the move, you're mindful of what's happening, you're mindful of your breath, and you're very much in that moment. So that's our 34. I feel as though the second part has gone a little bit quicker, because obviously I've recorded this without you all here with me. So as always, please send in all your questions that you may have. And I always think that if we can do the 34 just once a week, that just enriches our teaching, our self-practice, our own movement, and whatever else we need to do in our daily tasks. So I think we could all do a little challenge of trying for the next month of doing the 34. Those of you that have access to the downloads, there is an audio version of the 34 that you can just put on and listen to and just takes you through. It's only about half an hour long. So if we could try and do that, I think we will make the world a better place, exactly as Joe Pilate said. So please send in your questions to me and I'll answer them either on the forum or on the Ask Joe section, or I will email you. Okay, thank you.